This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Covering topics of interest around the Umpqua Valley, we get to all kinds of subjects and been focusing this week largely on the fire situation in the region. Two updates again today. Our second segment will be from the Homestead Complex, but first we begin at the Diamond Complex and Jenny Garson doing fire information. Jenny, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And overall, kind of give us an update on the Diamond Complex and the progress being made and some of the highlights about what's going on.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of crews out working on these fires, building a lot of containment lines, getting a lot of work done. We've been able to get about 17 of these fires to 100% containment. We've still got some that we've got a lot of work to do. There's still a lot of heat left in them, and that's a Pine Bench, Potter, are some of our most active fires on the Diamond Complex, and of course the Middle Fork down in Crater Lake. Lake still has quite a bit of heat in it and is gonna show some movement still. And then a few smaller ones like Brody, the Trip, Ouya, we're still working pretty hard on those as well.
And I understand there was a new fire, new start discovered in the last day or so.
Yeah, they had one yesterday. They were able to get on it. It's less than an acre, and they hope to have it fully contained by this afternoon or this evening.
All right, so a small number there. And, of course, tied to the Middle Fork fire, for people to remember if they're going to be out recreating this weekend, is about that closure on the north entrance into Crater Lake.
Yeah, so from the north entrance into the junction around the rim there, that is closed. Fire crews are in there working on some vegetation clearing, a little lighter-handed strategy than maybe is used outside of the park, and that's going to take about a week. It could potentially be longer. It's pretty long, tedious days of getting that cleared and hauling that wood out of the park.
And the Pine Bench fire outside of the Middle Fork is the bigger one there, and I noticed that increased a fair amount yesterday, but containment's up to 29%. Talk about the activity there and what's going on.
Yeah, so that fire is burning in an old burn scar, and it's getting into a lot of heavy dead and down. The other day, we saw a column go up on that one. There was a lot of activity there. Our fire behavior analyst said it actually looked worse than it was, just because when it gets into those heavy, big 1,000-hour fuels, it puts up a lot of smoke. But we have seen movement there. It's kind of moving north, northeast. It's still staying to the east of Boulder Creek. We've got contingency lines, or our lines on the west side of the mastication and prep along the road on the west side of the wilderness has been complete. We've got structure wrap on the lookout up there, and we're continuing on the east side and prepping road systems, strengthening lines out that direction. We did do some firing operations the other day on the east side, kind of keeping even with the movement of the fire, just to keep an even line there. But it's looking good, and any spot fires we've had, they've been able to get around them, and it's kind of still where we want it to be.
And Jenny, I know you're from Montana, but it's interesting because this Illahee Lookout is really a historic one going back, I don't even know how long, but I can think of so many times we've had fires in this area where they've had to wrap that just because they want to make sure and keep it protected for the historical value.
Yeah, absolutely. That's obviously one of the values at risk, is we assess what we've got out there around these fires and what we need to protect. And so that is one strategy, is like an aluminized wrap that's similar to fire shelters that deflects heat and can help to protect those from indirect flames and heat as fire moves through there, if it does move through there.
Now, over on the Potter Fire, you had some hotshot crews working on that yesterday. Talk about that one.
Yeah, so we actually had a little bit of a swap over a line on the east side yesterday, and they were able to move those hotshot crews over there and get around that spot, and they were going to continue to strengthen that today, got some dozer line around it. And so they've been working on kind of the southwest and the southeast side, being able to go a little bit more direct. With this cooler temperatures and the higher RHs the last few days, the fire behavior has been a little bit more moderated. And with those specialized crews, we're able to go in there and start getting a little closer and fighting more directly in those areas.
Now, one of the challenges, of course, in this area, in this complex, is sometimes just getting around to getting access to the fires. It's not always an easy path there.
Yeah, we've had several of these fires we couldn't even get into without opening up old forest roads that had overgrown or finding ways to get in there so that we could actually access the fires. So that is always a challenge in this country, and sometimes why we have to take more indirect tactics, because it's either unsafe to put firefighters in there where they're at, or we just can't always get to them where they're at until they come move further.
Now, what is your folks, your meteorologist saying about the potential for rain tomorrow? I mentioned they've just posted red flag warnings for 1 to 9 tomorrow afternoon. I know that just came out, so maybe it's not fully digested yet. It seems like it's kind of a double-edged sword here. The rain would be helpful, but thunderstorms and some of the things that happen with thunderstorms, maybe not so much.
Yeah, I actually just stopped in and talked to them and our fire behavior analyst before I came on. And our FBAN, our fire behavior analyst, has been kind of given an if-then scenario. So with those thunderstorms that are expected through here tomorrow, we may experience gusty outflow winds, which can obviously help push fire spread. If we get rain ahead of that, or during, that will potentially lessen any activity or spread. If we get it after, it'll definitely help moderate conditions if there's any push from those winds beforehand.
Now, coming from Montana, is this your first time staffing a fire here on the North Umpqua?
Our team actually came out last year to Gold Beach for the Flat and Anvil fires in September. So we have not been on the Umpqua, but we have certainly been in the area and on the Rogue River Siskiyou.
And how many days has your crew been there?
We have been here. This is our day 13. So we are looking to transition with a California team, number 4. They are arriving today. They're having their transition meeting this afternoon, and then they will shadow tomorrow and take command of the fire on Sunday.
And then you guys then return back to Montana?
We will. It's about a 2-day trip for most of us to northern Idaho and Montana and North Dakota. North Dakotans, obviously, 3 days, but we'll go back and get our R&R, and then we'll go back up around the 26th and see where we go next.
Wow. Fascinating time to do this in the summer months. How many years have you been involved in this kind of work?
I've been doing this for about 8 years now.
And what do you like best about it?
Well, no two fires are the same, and we get to travel around the country. I've been to a lot of really interesting places and various states, and it's the camaraderie that comes with being on a team is probably the one of the things that keeps me coming back, because it's not always real glamorous, and it's a lot of long hard days.
All right, Jenny Grayson, or Garson, rather, thanks for being on with us from the Diamond Complex. Thanks for all your work up there, and safe trip back north to Montana.
Thank you very much.
12:46, segment 2. Coming up, we'll go to the Homestead Complex when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 12:46 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, and Northwest Outdoors Radio at 4 in place of Umpqua Valley Live this week. We go now to the Homestead Complex. Jim Cahill from the Northwest Incident Management Team 8 joining us this afternoon. Jim, thanks for being on the radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
So give us an overall assessment of the Homestead Complex. We've seen an increase in both acres, but also in containment. So how are things going up there?
Things are going fairly well. Most of the fires are staying in their footprints, as we put it. Our two most active fires would be the No Man Fire, which is the western most fire, and then the Horse Heaven Fire, which is the northern most fire. And that's our focus is in those two, primary in terms of getting additional contingency lines in and addressing burnout operations.
Oh, it looks like on the Horse Heaven Creek Fire, there was significant growth yesterday. Talk about the challenges on this one.
Yeah, and most of the growth there is attributed to our burnout operations that we did yesterday and into the night along the east flank, moving down that east flank south to the southeast corner and then moving west to tie in the line on the western flank. It's hand line on that western flank. So a lot of that acreage is done intentionally to burn out the fuels between the indirect control lines that we have in there and the actual fire edge. So acreage can go up a fair amount with those burnout operations. So most of that's attributed to that. They're really, according to our fire managers on the area, they did not see much of any significant growth on that slop over in the northwest corner down near Horse Heaven Creek.
So it's good to get that information because I know if you just look at raw numbers, you go, wow, that went up quite a bit. But when you see this part of an overall strategy and these burnout operations really can make a big difference in a lot of cases.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in this area, as you know, very, very steep ground. It's hard to get line in direct on the fire in these areas. So we have to resort to indirect tactics, and that primary tactic is burnout operations along our control lines.
Now, on the No Man Fire, tactical burning yesterday was postponed. Talk about that situation, what you're facing there.
Yeah, our team put together what is referred to as a firing group, and that consists of overheads that have advanced training and experience in burnout operations. So they're able to analyze the site and look at fuel moistures and whether or not it's going to be effective to conduct a burnout operation at any given point in time. In this particular case, the firing group showed up there yesterday looking at the situation. And everything looked fine in terms of the lines that were installed and all of that. But what happened the night before was our relative humidities went up quite a bit, substantially this time of the year. It went up to near 85% moisture recovery up on that fire, meaning that the fuels were wetter and wouldn't burn very, very well. In other words, they would leave kind of a spotty burn, and that would leave fuel behind that could reignite or be an issue later. So they decided they couldn't get what we call a clean burn on that fire, and they moved over to the Horse Heaven Fire, where they found better burning conditions, and they were pretty successful on the Horse Heaven last night.
Now, one of the challenges in any of these complexes generally is it's a complex of fires. Some fires are close to each other. Some are quite a distance. Talk about managing all this and keeping track of personnel and figuring out how many you need in each area and all of that. I mean, it seems like quite the puzzle.
Yeah, it is. And we rely very much on what we call our incident command structure or system, which allows the mid-management in particular, which are the overhead out on the fire line As we get bigger fires, we add more overhead, so this what we call the span of control is manageable, and so they don't have too many resources to keep track of. And so what we do is when we get more complexity to the situation, we expand our incident command system to keep our resources that one person is managing at a manageable scale. That seems to help us out a lot. The other thing going on with this fire is because we didn't have a lot of resources because of all the other fires in Oregon right now and across the Pacific Northwest. So our approach was to focus on the most active fires within our complex that fell within our objectives that we were assigned by our host agency to take care of. And what came to the top with there was the Snowman Fire to the west, protecting valuable timber resources and a communication tower were pretty high priorities for us, and the Horsehaven Fire there to the north.
Well, and of course, the communication tower, a big deal because in the very rural and rugged areas out there, communication is not perfect at best, and you don't want to do anything or have anything happen that makes it less than the best it could be.
That's right. Yep.
So talk about working long shifts up there. I'm curious, kind of as a side note, I know you have very long shifts often up there. What do people do in their off time, or is it pretty much sleep and shower and start over?
Well, it's a lot of that, sleep and shower and start over. A lot of the crews are working a 16-hour day, and they need to keep a cap on those hours for their own health and safety. Just general taking care of our firefighters. There can be times where there might be a burning operation and they cannot leave the fire in that condition without checking it up or making sure that other resources are going to be able to take care. So it can happen that firefighters can go beyond that 16, but they need to be able to rest up and make up that time overall in their hours on the fire. So they may be rested up longer back in camp to catch up on those hours. So there's ways that we can try and mitigate the impact on working longer hours.
Now, this hour, about 40 minutes ago, the Weather Service put up a red flag warning for the Umpqua National Forest and surrounding areas. What's the concern about lightning coming in tomorrow?
Yeah, our weather forecasters are predicting a pretty significant rain event, possibly meeting the definition of a wetting rain, which is typically measured by an event producing more, a quarter of an inch or more of rain on a given area. There is a chance of thunderstorms coming in with that system, and they contain a fair amount of lightning. We just won't know for sure until the event passes through. But those are the heads-up lightning and thunderstorms. The lightning is a concern itself, but also the thunderstorms produce heavy outwinds and downdrafts, and that can be a hazard for firefighters and for influencing fire behavior with those strong winds, which can be very, very strong, 60 miles per hour.
All right, Jim Cahill is from the Northwest Incident Management Team, 1258 at the Noon Report.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.